This morning, Pastor Jamin will continue our series called Practically Speaking, as we look at how we can participate as God's church by valuing Christ in our community and our life. So take a moment now to pray for today's worship.
Well, I am glad that you all are here today. I'm ready to dive into God's Word together this morning. I do want you to think about, as we get ready to jump into Word, I want you to think about this question. Who are your closest friends? Think about your closest friends. You know, those people that would do absolutely anything for you. Those people that you would do absolutely anything for, right? Those people that would be there for you at any point in time. They're probably people that you could even call up as if you're a follower of Christ, you can call them up and say, hey, will you pray for me over this situation? So I want you to think about those friends. Now I want you to think about, I want you to ask yourself this question. Do we get together as a close group of friends ever? And do we open God's Word together? Do we dive into God's Word together? Do we encourage one another from God's Word? Do we challenge one another from God's Word? This is what I want us to think about today as we move forward in the series that we've been in called Practically Speaking. We have been looking at what we can do as followers of Jesus Christ, if we're a follower of Jesus Christ, to continue to add logs to the fire, to stoke the fire for the things that God loves, for our love for God and the things that God loves, primarily His church, because we believe God loves the church. Jesus loves the church. He died for the church. It's His bride, is what He calls it. Now, we believe that the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God, this is the Bible that I often dive into and read, and there's other Bibles that I have, but they're all the Word of God. They have the Word of God in them. We believe it's powerful. We believe the Word of God is meant for more than just information, though. We believe the Word of God is meant for application. It's meant for transformation. James, we did a series on the book of James last year. James tells us in his letter, he says that we need to not just be hearers of the word, but we need to be doers of the word, right? So we're looking, what can we do, practically speaking, as a part of the church, to be a part of that which God loves, to be growing that which God loves, to be a part of the kingdom that God loves. So we started this series looking in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, and at the early church and how things started. We started pulling from the principles of the early church and things that they did, and the mission that they were driven by. We said, we want to be a part of the local body. There were many local bodies back then. We want to be a part of a local body of Christ, on mission, mobilized for the kingdom, right? Because the church, when you look at the church in the New Testament, that word church, there's nowhere that it means a building. It means a gathering of people that are part of a movement on mission. And so we want to be a part of that with a local body of people. So we're saying, how can we do that practically speaking? So we said, we looked at the early church and we said, well, they devoted themselves to God. They devoted themselves to His word. They devoted themselves to each other. And as they did this devotion, then what happened was they were in awe of what God was doing in their lives and what God was doing in their body of people. And that's why we say we want to be a church that worships God with wonder. They were filled with joy every time that God moved in their presence and did something in their lives. And just they were filled with joy just being around one another, being in God's presence. And the scripture tells us that God added to their number daily, which is remarkable. I believe these people love like Christ loved. That's why we say we want to be a church that values loving others with no conditions. The same way that Christ loved us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. So we looked at this and we said, we want to pray for the church. This is what they devoted themselves. We want to be a people that pray for our church. We want to be a people that pray for the church, right? So we want to pray. We want to prioritize the church. And we said we want to participate in the church. So we've been looking, how do we participate as a part of the body of Christ? One, we said, and week two, we said we have the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ to the world around us. We have an opportunity to share our hope with humility. And that's why we want to value being a people that do that. We have the opportunity to ask and seek and knock to hopefully gain entrance into people's lives, to be able to share the good news with them and see Christ transform their life, to see them come to know Him as their Lord and Savior. Last week we looked at how we can practically speaking, how we can be a part of the body, is we can take our ordinary abilities, our ordinary selves, and let God work extraordinarily through them. We say that we can just do in the natural what we can do in the natural and watch God work supernaturally through it. We said that we are a part of the church. We're part of the bride of Christ. And we have a contribution to make, not just consumption to partake in, right? And here's the thing. We don't just have to do this. We get to do this. Think about that. You get to be a part of what God in His creation and Jesus Christ in His Lordship wants to do through His church for His kingdom. You have the opportunity. We get to be a part of that. How amazing is that? Right? And that's why we said that we don't want to just have teams that we serve on. We want to be family we serve with. Because we want to love one another. We want to be able to pray for one another. We want to be on stand on ground with one another in our life. And so today we're going to jump forward and we're going to look at something else. As we do, I want to show you a quick video. There's no sound on this video. I'll narrate what's happening as we watch it. Don't worry. Don't freak out when you see it. You're not going to see anything graphic. But you've got two lady lions that have drug a smaller water buffalo to the ground, right? When that movie and when they sing Circle of Life and it sounds so pretty, this is what they're talking about, okay? This is but look at what the water buffalo are doing. This group of water buffalo have come down here and they're chasing away these lions, right? And there comes Big Daddy, right? He's walking and he's looking. But then you got the other water buffalo who are back there like, yeah, you know, all right, we moved your women away. They're supposed to come. Yeah, come on. What you going to do? Come on. We're here. We ain't going nowhere. Look, they're walking towards the lions and getting them to move on and move away. I want you to understand there's power in community. There is power. That is powerful community taking place right there. The Apostle Peter, who spent the majority of, or a lot of his life, not the majority, but he spent 3 years of his life walking this earth with Jesus Christ. And then he spent the rest of his life living out what Jesus had called him to do, to be an apostle in the early church. Peter was commissioned to do that and to lead the church. And in one time he was commissioned to lead kind of the Jews who had been scattered throughout Rome and scattered all around. So he took some time to write a couple of letters to the churches that had been scattered around. Most believe that he wrote these letters during the time of the Great Persecution with Nero. It's believed to be kind of in the early 60s, not the 1960s, like the literal 60s, right? But he wrote these, and in one of his letters, he wrote these words. And you've probably heard this before, and you probably know exactly where I'm going. He said, our enemy, the devil, right? And we've talked about how the word that Peter uses there is diablo, which literally means that the goal is to divide and conquer. But it says, our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can destroy, looking for who he can destroy. Now, no one is all of us are susceptible to his attacks. That's what I'm trying to say. All of us are susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. But the thing about him is just like these lions were doing, he's often attacking the most vulnerable and the most susceptible. And if water buffalo can surround themselves in community to protect their own, how much more can those in the body of Christ, our Lord and Savior, our King Jesus, how much more can those of us who are part of this body do that for one another? To surround one another, be there for one another in community, because community is powerful. I want us to go to one of my favorite encounters today in the Gospels, in the life of Jesus. This encounter has two aspects I want to pull from it for us to see and to look at, practically speaking, what we can do in our relationship with the body of Christ. But this story is very unusual. It's told in Mark and Luke. Both of them tell it very similarly. But since we just looked at the words of Peter, we're going to go to Mark chapter 2. And I say that because most people believe that Mark's Gospel is Peter's stories, right? So Mark chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 1, and we're going to look at what Mark wrote here. Love this encounter. He says this: when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, not even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Right? They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above the man's head. That always just cracks me up. No matter how many times I read it, I just get the image of them in the room and all of a sudden little dust particles falling and then looking up and light peering through. Like, what in the world is going on? They lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said, notice that phrase, seeing their faith. Not just the man's faith. seeing their faith. Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or is it easier to say, 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk'?" Right? Now, remember, we said this last week if you were here. Jesus' primary purpose for coming to this earth was to give his life, to die and be resurrected for us to be able to have salvation, for us to be free from the punishment of our sin, to receive his righteousness so that we can receive the Holy Spirit in order for us to have power over sin, so that one day we will be in the presence of God out of the presence of sin. This was the whole primary purpose of Jesus, was to come to bring salvation, to bring forgiveness of sins. But even with that being his primary purpose, he still loved us enough and loved people enough to do even more. And that's what we're seeing happen here. The very first thing he does with this man is he forgives him. That man didn't come there for forgiveness in his mind, right? But he got something far greater than what he came for. He got forgiveness. And Jesus has been trying to tell everyone around that he is the Son of God. They're not listening. And so he asked them, he says, what's more difficult to do? For this man to be healed or for this man's sins to be forgiven? Why? Because you can verify the healing. You can't verify the forgiveness. But he says, I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and heal this man's sins so that you can see that I can do the verifiable one. And because you know I can do the verifiable one, you can trust and know that I did the one that you can't verify. It's the power of the Son of God. And so he asked them this question. He said, "So I'll prove to you that the Son of Man," which that was a phrase that Daniel often used in his prophecies referring to the coming of Messiah. He said, "The Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, walked through the stunned onlookers, you think? And they were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." Such a beautiful encounter of what Jesus did. Such an amazing encounter of what's taking place in this situation. The first thing I want to pinpoint in on this encounter that Jesus has in this story is something that you probably have heard, you probably thought about, if you've ever read this before, is the power of friendship. Friendship is important. Friendship is powerful. And I realize that for some people it's easier to make friends than it is for other people, right? Some of us are extroverts, right? We don't have a problem going out, meeting people, talking to people, getting to know someone. A little bit easier for those types of people. Then some of us are introverts, right? It's a little bit more difficult for us. It's a little bit more uneasy to just put ourselves out there and begin to meet people. But we all need friendships in our life. We all need that. Now, sadly, what science is showing us is that the amount of friendships that are in our life are decreasing. The American Sociological Review in 1990 did a survey, and they showed this. The highest percentage of people, when they surveyed and asked, "How many friends do you have?" The highest percentage of people were people that had friends of five or more. It was 63% said that they have friends of five or more in their life. And half of that, 63%, said they had friends of 10 or more. Right? That was in 1990. In 2021, the same organization did the same study, and they said, "How many friends do you have?" The highest percentage of friends was 2 to 4 friends. 41% said we've got 2 to 4 friends. The ones that said they had 5 or more, that percent was cut in more than half. Now, we can say, well, that probably just means that people have less friends but more close friends. And that could be the case, but it could also be the case that people are not making friends as easily as they once did. People might think they have friends because they have online, but they don't really have friends. And statistics also tell us that this is one of the loneliest generations around us. These studies also show that the more friends you have, the more satisfied you are in life. The less friends you have, the less satisfied you are in life. I believe that it's scriptural, that God created us that way. From the very beginning, we look at God's creation, and the one thing, we've said this before, the one thing that God said was not good was the fact that man was alone. So God created a helpmate to be with him. And we can have friendships with our spouse. We can have friendship with our loved one, with our wife, or with our husband. We can have that kind of bond. We can have bonds of friendship within our family, within our blood family, with one another. But we also need bonds of friendship with those that aren't blood related, that aren't that way with us, that aren't spouses. We need connections in our life. We need those because it's powerful. And in fact, in the next series, when we move from this series to the next series, we're actually going to look at these types of relationships in our life and define what love is biblically and how it looks within these relationships in our life. I believe it's going to be a very good relationship, but a very good series for us. But here's the thing. We were created to be dependent upon God and interdependent with one another. We're not created to be independent on our own. We need people in our life. We need people that know us well, that know what has us paralyzed in our life, are willing to get us on a mat and get us to Jesus. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. We have several verses throughout the Proverbs talking about friendship. This is one you probably all have heard, all know. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. I had sports on TV, just often do. It's background noise a lot of times. But it was on TV yesterday, and there was a guy, he said, my granddaddy used to always say, iron sharpens iron, friends are what we need. Well, your granddaddy got that from the Bible, right? That's where that came from. We need those types of friendships in our life. Listen, this is what he's saying. The abrasiveness of relationships makes us better. Sometimes we don't like to be challenged by those that we love, right? It makes us a little uncomfortable, but the abrasiveness of relationships makes us better. If we don't have relationships in our life that are helping to sharpen us, we're living a very dull life. That's what the writer is saying. So who is in your life that sharpens you? And I'm not just talking about just general relationships are great. Relationships that you have in your life are great. Friendships that you have in your life, they're fantastic. They're great. People that you know you can call up and that kind of stuff. But what type of Christ-centered community do you have in your life that is there for you when you need them, that doesn't just pray for you, but they open up God's word with you, they encourage you from God's word, they challenge you from God's word, and they know they can see what's going on in your life, and they can do what they need to do to help sharpen you in your relationship with Christ and with one another? Who are the relationships that you have that you know love God enough and that you trust enough that you can say, look, I'm struggling with this. Will you hold me accountable? Will you pray for me? And here's what I truly believe. I truly believe we can take our closest relationships in life and make them Christ-centered community. Here's another verse from Proverbs I absolutely love. Proverbs 17:17. A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. Other translations say it this way. A brother is born for adversity. I love that. A brother is born for, and yes, that word brother can literally mean blood family. But it also can mean like a friendship like David and Jonathan had with one another. A friendship that is so close that is like a brother. You're going to go through adversity in your life. And we need Christ-centered community in our life that's going to be there and surround us, that knows us, that knows what's going on in our life. We know each other's family. We invest in each other's family. And we're there for one another, and we help one another through what we're going through. Craig Groeschel, he's a pastor of one of the largest churches in our nation, probably across the world, Life Church. He makes this statement. It's a very powerful statement. He says, we impress people with our strengths, but we connect with people through our weaknesses. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe that's true. I believe that's biblical. So who? Who do we have in our life that can be abrasive with us when needed in love, and who's there with us through adversity? And just like we've been saying through this whole series, that behind the supernatural, there is something working in the natural, right? Just behind the miracle of salvation is someone being willing to sow the seeds of God's word or water the seeds of God's word in someone's life. Behind the miracles and God working supernaturally in people's lives within church bodies is others working in the natural in order to make room for God to work in the supernatural. Like we talked about last week, they're serving one another. They're serving the body. And I believe that just like with this friend who had these friends that lowered him through the roof, Christ-centered community, when we do that in the natural, it opens us up for God to work in our lives supernaturally. Again, I love the phrase that when Jesus saw their faith, the power of community. One other thing I want to point out from this, outside of these friends who were working in the natural for God, for Jesus to do the supernatural, was one other individual. And that was the person that opened their home. It was the person that opened their home for Jesus to be in it and for others to come and hear more from Jesus. It was the person willing to open their home and say, hey, let's gather around what we can learn from Jesus Christ. Again, when we looked in Acts chapter 2, what did it say the early church did after Jesus ascended into heaven? What did they do? They met in the temple and they met in homes together. And yeah, that probably looked a little bit different than it does today. But we take the mission behind it, we take the principles behind it, and we do what we can to learn from it. I'm very thankful for friendships that I have in my life. I have a lot of very good friendships. I grew up in this area. I was only away from here for about 6 years. Jenny grew up in this area. She was only away for about 4 years. So we grew up, we have a lot of friendships. We have a lot of connections. I'm very thankful for those friendships. We got friends that'll pray for us when we need them, that'll be there, they'll show up when we need them. We got family that would do the same. I'm also thankful. I'm also very thankful for three other couples that Jenny and I meet with. We try to meet with at least twice a month, that we get together in Christ-centered community, and we don't just pray for each other. We don't just tell stories and laugh with each other. We don't just eat with each other, but we open God's Word together, and we grow from God's Word together, and we encourage one another, and we challenge one another. And I want to introduce you to a couple who moved here from Colorado. It wasn't too long ago. It was maybe a couple of years now. I can't remember exactly how long ago. They usually come to the second service. So many of you in here probably have never gotten the chance to even see them because they typically come in the second service. But they're part of this body. Their names are Chris and Gloria Roselle. I want you to hear their quick, brief story about how they, as introverts, took the risk to get out there to meet people. But then they were willing to open their home and take relationships to a deeper level. Let's hear their story.
Hi, everybody. I'm Chris Roselle.
I'm Gloria.
We've been attending Bethel for about 2.5 years. That's when we moved to South Carolina after living in Colorado for my whole life and for most of Gloria's whole life. So we found the church pretty early when we got here. I think it was the second church that we attended, and it just seemed like the right fit for our family right away, and our kids definitely got plugged in with the youth right away, which made a big difference for them.
One thing that was important to us pretty early on was to find a group, because in Colorado, we attended a pretty large church. Our group became our support system, our small group, and we would meet at someone's house on a weekly basis, and those people became the people we knew at the church, because it was very hard to, meet people in such a big environment. And when we moved here, that was definitely one of the things that was hardest to leave, was that group of people that we had gotten to know very well, because we met with them weekly and did a Bible study every week and talked about prayer requests every week, so we got to know them really well.
Yeah, and I think along with the fellowship and along with the Bible study, I just think, they were a support system for us, and, they were probably our closest friends in terms of we saw them more consistently than we really saw anybody else. It would have been really easy to attend a church like Brave and go every week and hear a good worship and hear a good sermon and never really get to know anybody very well. But with a small group, you kind of feel like you have a church within the church and families that you can connect with and do life with.
When we came to Bethel, it's human nature to expect other people to reach out to you and invite you, and since you're the new one, but it's true most places, but especially here in the South, that many people have lived here their whole lives. So they know a lot of people. They have family here. They don't necessarily need or searching out more people in their group, but you as a new person need or want that group. So you need to kind of put yourself out there and seek out your support system when you're in a new place.
Probably one of the hardest things about joining a small group or being willing to start a small group is just you feel busy, especially if you have kids and you have a lot of stuff going on. It's never easy to fit another thing in or to add another thing to the calendar. But I think it's one of the most rewarding ways you can budget your time for the week is or every other week or once a month is to make time to get together with your church family and to check in and see how others are doing and be encouraged by others and motivated and challenged and held accountable. So no matter how busy you are, I think it's worth the investment to kind of set aside that time. Another reason to consider a small group, whether it's joining a small group or just being willing to lead a small group, is it's a way to worship and serve. I think a lot of people sometimes are trying to find that way in the church to serve, and they're not sure. Like, maybe you're not extroverted. I know we're not. So the idea of being a greeter or meeting people as they walk in is a little bit intimidating. And, you know, if you don't have the tech skills or some of the other things, you might not think that you could, you know, join one of those teams. But being willing to join a small group or host a small group is an easy way just to serve the body and encourage others. And you never know. Give someone an opportunity that, you know, is missing that relationship or that kind of close piece at the church to get plugged in.
Starting a small group or joining a small group can be pretty intimidating at first. You don't necessarily know the people or don't think that you might have anything in common with them. But I would encourage anyone to try it, because you will make friends with people you didn't think you had anything in common with, or you will become closer with people that you wouldn't expect to. And it's very rewarding, and it's fun to come to church and see people that you know on a deeper level than just, oh, I see them sit in that pew every week. Or we have benefited from putting ourselves out there meeting people, but now that we have our small group, it doesn't feel uncomfortable. So taking that first step can be intimidating, like we said, but it's very important.
It was a matter of going from not having very many friends or knowing very many people when we first moved out here to probably our small group now being our closest friends that we have, you know, other than family out here where we've moved. So once you do make it a priority and you start building it into your schedule, I think it goes from being one of those things that's a little intimidating to one of the things that you look the most forward to every so often, to get together with friends and do a Bible study and connect and have some fellowship, and even just, you know, sometimes go out and just have some fun and, you know, enjoy other people's company.
I'm so thankful for Chris and Gloria and for the opportunity we have to be a part of that. I believe it's very powerful for all of us. You know, most people in this house know me as Pastor Javen, and they know my wife as Pastor Javen's wife, because that's the role I serve in this church, and that Jenny's married to me, so that's the title she kind of gets, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. We love that. We love that role. But outside of that role, we're just Javen and Jenny. And we are so thankful for friendships we have in our life that know us as just Javen and Jenny. And we can have those friendships. And we're also thankful for those couples that we meet with, that they know us as Javen and Jenny. And we can open up our heart to them as that, and share with them what's going on in our life, and things that we deal with, and things that we face. And listen, I understand that there's sometimes risk with having these types of relationships. When you become, and listen, I'm going to use the word vulnerable, but guys, don't think of it like you're on a psych ward's couch or something like that, or counselor, where you're like opening up all of your feelings. That's not what I'm talking about, right? But there's just something about that vulnerability with one another. There's risk there. But I can tell you this, and I probably disappointed these guys at some point in time and sent a text that probably wasn't the greatest. But we can see through that, and the risk of not having these relationships is far greater than the risk of having them. Some of the best ways to impart your love for the Father with others is by being present with them. And we want to value this as a church. We want to value growing together with hunger. Not just growing with hunger, but growing together with hunger. That's why we do the things that we do. We love the discipleship groups that we do. We love the different opportunities like financial peace and grief share and other topic-specific type groups that we have. We love the men's Bible studies, the ladies' Bible studies, the young adults, the young at hearts. We love those. We love the aspects of those. And we believe that when we come together in those discipleship groups that we can grow together. Here's what I believe about small groups. I believe that in small groups, when we have small groups together with others, we can grow as family together. And grow in God's word together. And I believe that's important. We want to instill the importance of this. Our children, our youth, at the end of every time they're together, they go from just a teaching and they get in small groups together. Why? Because we want them to know that the teaching is valuable, but you learn more from the teaching when you get together and you have conversation around it and you talk about it. The teenagers and youth oftentimes say that the small group time is some of their favorite times because they can build those relationships and pour into each other. Think about Jesus. When Jesus called his disciples, did he go up to them and say, "Here's a book about me, study it"? He said, "Come follow me." What Jesus wanted to do was spend life with them. He wanted to be in relationship with them. And you know what also he did with them? He took the book that they had at that time, the historical Jewish literature, the law, the prophets, and he opened up those books and he showed those guys that he was discipling and they were growing, were growing together with him. He showed them how all that pointed to him. So they broke open the word together, but they did it together. They did it in relationship together. So again, this series is practically speaking, right? So I want to be very practical as we end today to show you how practically you can take part in this within this body. And we're going to end today. I'm going to show you this practically. We've got three baptisms in the first service. We got a baptism in the second service. We're going to end today with baptism and celebrate what God's doing in people's lives together today. Amen. But here's what I want to show you practically. Again, we believe in relational discipleship. So we have tools on our website where you can meet with someone even one-on-one. If you have someone in your life that you want to disciple one-on-one, if you go to our website, you go to the resources at the top of the website and go to free resources. You can throw those images on the screen. These are two things: small circle, gospel disciple. You can use these tools to meet one-on-one with people and help disciple them. But even beyond that, if you click groups at the top of our page, at the top of the website, it'll take you to a webpage about small groups and how you can do these things practically speaking. So let's go to these next images. Let's look at these. All right. So we give you 6 week, 8 week, and 13 week options to say, let's try this. Let's try it for 6 weeks. Let's try it for 8 weeks. Let's try it for 13 weeks. We have a tool that we use called Right Now Media. It's free. Anybody can pull it up. Some of you have pulled it up. You're on it. But you could get together you could ask those that you are close to and say, "Hey, y'all want to get together and let's study this together." And you can do this for 6 weeks. We have a way. We have 1 week that starts off by just getting together. Then you do the 6 week option. That's 4 weeks. And then the 6 week is y'all getting together and fellowshipping. Then there's an 8 week option. You can do this one on your own, right? Do that study, same way. Start off with conversation in the first week. The next 6 weeks, you're doing the study. And then the last week, you're fellowship together. You liking this a lot? Or you're like, "Hey, well, let's do this in 13 weeks. We show you how you can do that. You can combine the two options and make it a 13-week option, right? If you're done, then just continue using that. You don't have to use those studies we recommend. If you go every time we do a series, we put on there a study from Right Now Media that we recommend you could do. So go to that next image. That shows you this is a study we've recommended. You could do that with a group of friends as we go through this, talking about the importance of the church together. There's so many ways you can utilize this. If you don't want to use technology, I mean, our group uses these. We just, Gloria just airdrops it on, or whatever she does, on her TV, and it shows through her TV. But if you don't want to do these, then we have a tool on there where if you want to take what we talk about on Sunday mornings, there's a group that does meet on Sunday nights to do this in the education building. But if you want to do this in a home with others, if you go to the media page and shows you the messages from the week. If you click on notes and discussion questions, it'll take you to a page that has the scriptures we used, the scriptures we referenced, and then notes from the message. And then right under all that is a button that says, click here for discussion questions. And these discussion questions pop up. And you can have conversation around these things to grow more about what we talked about any Sunday. There's so many ways that you can do this. Why do we make these things available? Because we believe if we made these types of ordinary, natural things available, and when we get together, God can work supernaturally through them. So here's what I want to encourage you today. I said this last week. I don't know how God may grow our local body. I know that God is not in the business of seeing his kingdom and his church decline. I know that. I know he wants it to grow. If God chooses to grow this body, I believe one of the next things that we need to boost in helping connections being made are groups like this. And if you need to meet on the campus, it's fine. We're limited on how much we can offer you to meet on campus. The amount of homes we need, we need multiple for it not to be limited. And we don't want people digging holes through roofs, right? So here's what I want to encourage us today. I want every single person here to pray and to ask God, God, are you leading me to open up my home to host a group of Christ-centered community in my home? Are you leading me to do that? And some of you already know the answer to that. Some of you know that you have been being led. You've been and felt encouraged to do that. You just haven't taken the step to do it. Well, it's time to text, like we've been doing the last couple of weeks. If you are willing to take that step, then we would love that number that you get. Probably everyone in this room, unless you're a first-time visitor today, has been texted to from this number at some point. Just text that number and text groups. And just like we've done for the last several weeks, we'll start conversations with you. But I want you to pray. Even if you don't know without a doubt, I want you to pray, God, do you want me to take the friendships I have, open my home, and make Christ-centered community? And I'll say, if you start feeling nervous about it, that's usually the Holy Spirit saying, hey, we're moving, right? We want you to do that. But I want all of us to pray as well. If I'm not connected in discipleship in some way, if I'm not connected with others, what do I need to do? How can I connect with others? How can I begin to grow together with others? Let's just take a moment to seal today's word with prayer. Let's celebrate in baptism. And then we'll go out rejoicing today what God is doing in our hearts and our lives. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word today. We thank you for what you're doing. God, your word is anointed. We can open your word and read it, and it is anointed on its own. I'm so honored to have the privilege to be able to open your word with this body and just talk about it. And I thank you, Father, for encounters like the ones we see in Mark chapter 2 and in Luke's gospel, of these friends that surrounded their buddy and said, we know what's got you paralyzed and we want to get you to the one that can help you. I'm so thankful that we see that Jesus admired their faith together. And that God, when they were obedient and did what they needed to do in the natural with their own ordinary abilities, God, you worked extraordinarily through it. And you did something supernatural in that person's life. But they weren't the only ones that were working behind the scenes. There was someone willing to open their home. There was someone willing to open their home to Jesus, to others, to experience the goodness of the one who John calls the very Word of God. So, Father, I thank you for that today, and I pray that you would challenge our hearts, moving us, God. I know and I believe that there's people in this room or maybe watching online that you're stirring and saying that you want them to open their home to Christ-centered community, to grow with others around your word. You're stirring in people's hearts to say it's time to get connected in discipleship in some way. God, I also believe that you're stirring in someone's life today, that just like this man that was paralyzed on this mat who needed not just healing physically, but needed forgiveness of his sins. I believe that there's someone maybe in this room today and or in the sound of my voice that they know they need to surrender to you as Lord today. They need the forgiveness of salvation. So, Father, I pray today that every seed that's been planted in their heart, every seed that's been watered, that God, you would take that and you would work supernaturally through it today. That you would open them to you. And if you're here in this room today and you hear me right now, I encourage you, as we pray, that you pray in your own words and you confess to Jesus that you know that you need him, that it's time to surrender your life to him, that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and that you today take the step to believe that he is the Son of God. May you confess with your mouth today that he is Lord of your life. And then we want to journey with you today. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment.
If you need prayer in any way today, we would love for you to reach out to us. You can go to our website, bwccambin.com. Go to our contact page. You'll find a link there to request prayer or send us anything that you would like to communicate with us today. Or you can also simply text the word prayer to 803-676-7566. And we will be back in touch with you to find out how we can be in prayer for you. God bless you. We hope that you have a great week.